Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Dr. David DeRose. He is an internal medicine and preventive medicine specialist. Along with Dr. Greg Steinke and Trudy Lee, he's written a book called 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, The No Pressure Solution. Dr. DeRose, welcome to Life Quest.
Great to be with you, Dwight.
Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, Dwight, it actually was not my vision. It was really the demand of other people that were seeing a huge need for blood pressure control resources. It is one of the leading epidemics in the world, and it definitely is impacting millions of Americans, increasing our risk of stroke and heart attack, blindness, and kidney problems.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. There's got to be a number of our listeners who are saying, yeah, we know about that, and that is why I take this particular pill every morning. You're not giving us advice on which pill to take.
Well, actually, no, we're doing a whole lot more than that, because
okay.
The pill-taking advice is simply not working. Something like half of Americans do not have their blood pressure controlled, and you can say, well, why would that be? We've got all these drugs. There's no excuse. But the drugs cause side effects, and one of the main reasons it seems that people are not following drug medication recommendations is simply they feel fine with high blood pressure and feel lousy with the medicine.
I see. Now, let's go back to some of the basics. We have symptoms, but what's the cause here of high blood pressure? Has it always been this way, or is something different?
Well, it definitely seems to be an epidemic, and that means that rates are increasing. Really, as we look at the resources that we have, medical research, the basic science, the understanding of how the body works, our lifestyle is contributing to problems that we have with blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we penned the book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, we looked at that research and we said, there's a lot of things we can do to turn back the clock, if you will, better eating habits, getting more activity. But then there are natural things that can be done, supplements and other things that can make a difference as well.
You do talk about stressors and things that happen in our lives. If I feel my blood pressure is low, I watch a particular religious channel and my blood pressure goes way high, or I watch a presidential debate. And so the external things have something to do with it, but you do talk a lot about nutrition. But you also suggest, and I want to mention this, in chapter 4 of your book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, that it can happen in 30 days, you're saying, a difference.
Oh, there's no question. A number of us, Dr. Steinke and I and Trudy Lee, who's a nurse practitioner, the authors of the book, we've all worked with intensive lifestyle programs. And that's whether they're outpatient programs, whether they're in residential settings. And we see people in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, get those blood pressure numbers down dramatically, getting off medications. And so when we penned the book, 30 days for an outpatient program, self-directed, is really a very reasonable time frame to make a real impact on blood pressure.
Before any of that is tried, there's got to be a mindset change in the patient. Isn't that not correct?
Well, really, there's a number of mindset issues, and we deal with them in the book. We first talk about the whole idea of behavior change. Most of us are comfortable with the lifestyle that we're following.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a practicing physician, when I'm in with patients and I start talking about changing their diet, most of them don't just warm up to the idea. But if we realize that we can develop new habits, new enjoyments, that is just huge. And then the person says, well, wait, if I can enjoy any diet or any lifestyle, why don't I just pick the best one?
Mm-hmm.
So we deal a lot with that. Some of those obstacles to making changes early in the book, try to encourage people to be open for at least 30 days. We're not asking people to change anything for the rest of their life. We say try this for 30 days, see what difference it makes, and you might be surprised at how much difference it makes and really how much you want to stick with some of those things on a longer-term basis.
When you talk about changes in eating habits, I can't help but think about what I hear and what all of us hear so much about, either because we know people or because we hear about it on television and radio, and that is type 1, type 2 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
Which all seem to be affected and linked sometimes to high blood pressure.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, these things often go hand in hand. I've got a table in the book. It's actually figure 5.3. I was showing that figure in a lecture before the book even came out, and some months after that lecture, a person came up to me. They said, Dr. DeRose, I went to your lecture. It changed my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was tempted to be proud of what a great motivational speaker I was, he quickly removed any possibility of that. He said, it was nothing you said, Dr. DeRose. So I'm thinking, what? Nothing I said? But he came to a lecture, changed his life. It was this graph. And so this figure 5.3 is data from nearly 90,000 people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically shows it's got diabetes and high blood pressure, both in this figure. And it looks like a set of steps. And what it is basically your lowest risk of both those diseases is when you're a total vegetarian, when you're eating no animal products whatsoever, only one-fifth the likelihood of having high blood pressure or diabetes compared to those who are eating, you know, the typical American diet with lots of meat, milk, eggs, cheese, poultry, things like that. And as you add more and more animal products to the diet, it's just like a step, your risk just sequentially increases between those two extremes. So really the message is eat more plant foods, more beans, more whole grains, more fruits, more vegetables. And then we go through some of the research on why that is, some of the compounds in plant products that are actually lowering blood pressure. No one has to be a total vegetarian to get the benefits of the book. But they've just if your blood pressure is high and you're eating meat every day, try to switch it up. Have a day where you eat no meat. You know, eat beans for the protein instead of poultry or fish, for example.
Sometimes to start a program, you say, well, you got to lose weight with whatever the symptom is, and certainly high blood pressure is probably linked to that. But you're suggesting that these things actually can go well together. You know, if you're cutting out some of the things to lower your blood pressure, it's going to affect your weight issue too, won't it?
No, you're exactly right, Dwight. I mean, it's amazing because I've had people say, well, I don't have high blood pressure, but I have diabetes or I have weight issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly tell them the principles in this book really will help with all those conditions because they're metabolic diseases, and often the underlying lifestyle factors are the same. So if you pick up the book and you're going through it with a husband, wife, relative, friend, coworker who has high blood pressure, you're going to find that it's going to help you as you go through that process as well.
All right, so you know, someone is listening to the program and they're concerned about several of these things, and they said, well, we've got to start, and you mentioned eliminating certain things from your diet straight away and see how it works for you, and that means what? I should switch from regular diet soda to diet soda.
Well, unfortunately, we have a whole chapter on beverages, and why I say unfortunately, any of the soft drinks are connected with either directly raising blood pressure or increasing risk of one of the blood pressure complications, which is stroke. So really we want to decrease those soft drinks. And what a lot of people don't realize is it's actually sometimes harder to cut back on something than just to leave it out. We make it very clear from the research the best beverage is water. And if the water out of your tap tastes bad, well, invest some money in, you know, buying some bottled water or getting a home filtration system. It's going to make a huge difference as far as a host of metabolic problems.
And so switching to diet isn't the answer, diet soda.
No, unfortunately, and especially when you add caffeine in the equation, caffeine is a factor that actually raises blood pressure, and we talk about that in the book.
Also, the sweeteners aren't always the best for you that are used in the diet.
No, you're right, and what I just tell my patients and what I've told people over the years, most of us have educated ourselves to like foods that are artificially sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Free yourself. Give yourself an opportunity to develop new enjoyments and make a clean break with all those added sweeteners, whether they're sugar sweetened or, you know, high fructose corn syrup, or whether it's NutraSweet or something else. Try to leave those out again, just for 30 days. See what difference it makes.
Well, let me just jump in right here and ask you. You've been promoting this and talking about this for quite some time. What kind of response are you getting? Are people listening better now than they did maybe when you first began to do some lectures on this?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time. I've been lecturing about preventive medicine for, I hate to say how long without dating myself, but it's been a number of decades, Dwight.
Boy, you're really old.
and I will tell you this. People are more responsive to the lifestyle message today, but there's still a lot of resistance. And part of the resistance is people think we're asking them to trade a life that they now enjoy for a life that's going to be miserable. I'll tell you, I just had a patient just yesterday in my office, a woman in her 40s. She's had a huge stroke, had uncontrolled high blood pressure. Now she's, we call it hemiparetic. That means half her body is very weak or paralyzed, I guess the layperson would say, even though there's some movement there. And her quality of life has really dropped dramatically. And I didn't ask her yesterday, but if I said, if you knew you could have changed your lifestyle, would that have been easier than what you're dealing with now? I'm sure she would have said, I'd eat anything, I'd do anything if I could just walk again and be able to, get around normally. And she can't do that.
Most of our listeners are here in the States, so this program is heard in various parts of the world. Are we seeing similar issues outside of North America?
Oh, high blood pressure is a huge worldwide epidemic, and we give some of the data in the book. Back in 1980, the estimate was that something like 500 million people in the world had high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Now that figure is close to a billion. So basically a doubling in what we call prevalence or the amount of high blood pressure in the world over the last 30 years or so.
Tell us a little bit about the social support. I think a lot of people are concerned about changes in their, what about my friends who don't have these issues and they're going to think I'm weird or am I alone in this? That sort of thing.
Well, social support is just a huge topic, and that's why we actually devote an entire chapter to it. Really what we find is people have the greatest benefits when it comes to lifestyle change if they do it with other people. And with that in mind, we don't just have the book, The 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, but we actually have a set of DVD resources that we have available on our website. And people can actually get those DVDs. They can show them at home, in their workplace, in a faith community setting, and go through this book with other people. We make it very easy to do that. It's actually quite inexpensive. There's no licensing fees. You don't have to be certified to run programs. And so basically what we're trying to do is get a message out there. If you can do it on your own, that's great. Go through the book. You're going to find benefit. We've already got people writing in on Amazon telling us that the principles are working for them. The book's just been out a couple of months. But we've got other people saying, we want to do this in our communities. And so there's a number of groups. I don't know that anyone has actually started because the books are really just hot off the press. But I haven't gotten any reports from the field as communities actually running the program. But this is what we're encouraging. This is what the research shows. Do it with other people, and you'll multiply the benefits.
And you mentioned some of the programs that are available either through churches or other health-related institutions that provide help.
Exactly. There's a big hospital system that's been working with us, wants to implement these principles throughout their facilities because they're powerful. And for those that don't have access to a place that's running it, like I said, you can go to our website, and it's simply compasshealth.net. And if you go there, we have the books there. We have the DVD resources. A lot of people say, well, how can I remember that I'm driving compasshealth.net? I say, hey, Compass, giving you direction.
Yeah, right.
Health, that's what we're all about. And then .net, for our Christian listeners, we're called to be fishers of men. So compasshealth.net.
In Chapter 8, you talk about physical activity, and I've just taken a part-time job at a hardware store in which I'm walking the aisles every day. In fact, my phone tells me that I'm doing 15,000 steps a day.
That's impressive.
And I have lost weight.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not complaining.
Good
Except,
work.
Well,
Good
my
work.
Feet are complaining. But so physical activity is linked through this?
Physical activity is fascinating. In the old days, people used to think you had to do huge amounts of activity to get benefit. And the first figure in that chapter, figure 8.1, we've got blood pressure benefits from moderate exercise. They looked at just 8 weeks of moderate exercise, and they found that even doing as little as half an hour a week could lower blood pressure over 5 points in the span of 8 weeks.
And you're saying even walking and things like that.
Even walking, that's right. That's moderate exercise. So people don't have to kill themselves. They don't have to get a, you know, health club membership.
Right.
Just get out and do more. And, of course, in the chapter we go through things that, you know, safety issues. If, you know, someone's got heart disease or other things, sure, we're not just telling people, just show up at the health club and start
right.
running on the treadmill.
In Chapter 11, talk about stress management. And stress is such a part of our 21st century lives today, whether it's kids or health or just making enough money to cope. Worries about everything. You know, the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving's coming up, and we want the family together, and it all works well until somebody says, what did you mean by that? And all of a sudden, the stress level goes up.
Yeah, no, I mean, stress is, well, really, in fact, in stress science, we say the only condition without stress is death. which getting to that point is usually pretty stressful for most people. But the point is, Dwight, what I've found over the years in working with groups of people doing health education programs is it's a construct that really helps people look at stress differently. And I have them think about a lion in their bedroom. Now, that may sound pretty stressful, but we actually, in the chapter, walk through different things you could do with a stressor that no one would say, well, that's just kind of a subjective thing. I wouldn't be stressed by a lion, you know, ravenously hungry one, of course. That's growling at you in the bedroom. And we basically show people that there's a variety of strategies that you could apply with that lion, and then we translate that into how do you deal with stress in the workplace. I mean, it may not look like a lion there, but it's just as real. It can raise your blood pressure just as much,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps even more over a long term. And the lion may just raise it for a short term before he eats you. So, so we walk through different things that you can do. And we try to make it very practical, go through the medical science, and really show people that a lot of the strategies we're using are contributing to our health problems. The hostility that builds up in us, the anger, the anxieties. If you don't deal with those things, they are going to raise blood pressure, worsen blood sugar, increase heart disease risk, and the list goes on and on.
What is this term, pressors and excesses? Avoid these false friends.
Yeah, what we've been doing, you know, for the benefit of our listeners who maybe don't have the book in front of them, we call it the no-pressure solution because no pressure, of course, I know you've looked at the book, Dwight, is a mnemonic where it goes through 10 different areas
mm-hmm.
where we can make an impact as far as naturally controlling our blood pressure. And one of those letters, that's the letter R, stands for refraining from pressors and excesses. And people say, what is that all about, just like you asked? A pressor is anything that raises blood pressure.
Okay.
So in that chapter, we look at some things that are actually raising blood pressure that a lot of people are totally unaware of. Up until fairly recently, most people were totally oblivious to the fact that those common over-the-counter pain-relieving drugs that we so often resort to for aches and pains mm-hmm. actually raise blood pressure. And they can raise it 10 or 15 points in people who are susceptible to high blood pressure.
Towards the end of your book, you talk about faith in God, the spiritual connection. How would that have anything to do? I mean, some people's perspective of God isn't always positive, or they're worried about end times or something like that, and you think, well, that's a stress increaser. But what are you emphasizing here?
Well, actually, your point is right on topic, because in that chapter, we talk about what the research shows as far as spirituality and blood pressure. And you are exactly right, Dwight. There are a number of studies that indicate the wrong type of spiritual approach, an approach where you're looking at being a victim, for example,
mm-hmm.
or God punishing you, or these kind of things are actually blood pressure raising. They actually increase mortality even. So what we try to do in this chapter is we say, you know, I'm a Christian, my co-authors are Christians, but there's a whole lot of people who need this material, and they need a spiritual message. They're not Christian. They're not interested in reading a biblical explanation of how to deal with stress. And yet, at the same time, we know these biblical principles from our own experience and from the research are powerful. So what we actually did is we looked at a biblical model that we thought appealed to people across the spiritual spectrum, whether they're atheists, agnostics. It's basically from what many people would acknowledge as one of the world's great teachers. I mean, I believe he was more than that, of course, but,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus himself. And so we look at the beginning, the introduction to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is often referred to as the Beatitudes, and we find there that Jesus spelled out actually eight powerful principles we call them timeless prescriptions for optimal health and optimal blood pressure. We actually walk through things like being humble, aspiring to something better. You know, that's referring to the beatitude, blessing those who are pure in heart. And we walk through these different beatitudes and show how cultures across the world, whether they're Christian or not, have realized the value of these simple principles. And then we show how the science supports it. We encourage people to get in touch with those spiritual roots of their culture, of their spiritual background. We're not trying to twist anyone's arms and saying you have to be a Christian. But we do go through a lot of the basic Bible teachings, because in order to understand what Jesus was speaking about, you have to look at the world, the people that he was speaking to, and there were people that were rooted in a biblical worldview.
Again, if you just tuned in, I have been talking to Dr. David DeRose, and he co-authored a book called 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, The No Pressure Solution. The book is just out. Dr. DeRose, where can people get a copy?
Probably the single best place to go is to our website. It has all the resources there, and that's compasshealth.net.
Mm-hmm.
If someone can't remember that, the book is available on Amazon, and it's available as an e-book on Kindle. We also have those links, the Kindle link, on our website.
Dr. DeRose, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Thanks so much, Dwight.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.